Okay.
So welcome back. I know we haven't learned in a couple of weeks. We did some Purim things, and we haven't been to Yehoshua in a couple of weeks. So just to review where we're up to, we're in the middle of Perek Gimel. I think we left off. We're around Pasuk Yud, but just to reintroduce us to what's going on. So essentially, the Jewish people are about to cross the Yarden, about to cross the Jordan River. To go into the land of Israel for the first time. And Yehoshua is giving his pep talk. He's telling the Kohanim that they have to pick up the Aron. As we know, the Aron and the Kohanim are what are basically leading the Jewish people into the Yarden. And we know that there's some sort of miracle coming, right? We're familiar with what the miracle is. But there's some sort of big miracle coming our way. That's why we need the Kohanim here. We need the Aron here, leading the way into the Jordan River. And now we're up to Pasuk Yud. I believe Yud and Yud Aleph we did already. I believe Yud and Yud Aleph we did, right? The Yehoshua tells them that you're going to go in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of the seven nations that occupy the land of Israel. Pasuk Yud Aleph, he said, he reminded them that the Aron, Aron HaBris, of the Adon Kol Haaretz, God's Aron HaBris, is going before you into the Yarden. I think last time we discussed that this miracle that the Mefarshim allude to, that Yehoshua somehow miraculously constricted all of the Jewish people into a very small space, and we discussed that the Malbim's understanding of that space. Okay. Now I think we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis, if I'm not mistaken. I think we left off, we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. And now Yehoshua continues talking to the Jewish people, and he says, Ve'ata kechulachem shnei asar ish mishivtei Yisrael. So he says, and now take for yourselves 12 men, mishivtei Yisrael, from the tribes of the Jewish people, ish echad la'shavet. Literally, one man per shevet. Why does it say ish echad? It's essentially saying one per shevet. Every shevet needs to supply one person. Right now, we have no assignment for these people. Right? If you look at Pasuk Yud Gimel, we seem to move on to a new topic. V'haya kinoach kapos raglei hakohanim nosei Aron Hashem Adon Kol Haaretz b'mei hayardein, which means when the Kohanim lay there, the palms of their feet, the ones who are carrying the Aron, when they walk into the rivers of the Yarden, may hayarden yikaresu. So the waters of the Yarden are going to split. Hamayim hayordim ilamala vayamdu neirechad, which we'll talk about in a moment. So it's interesting because Pasuk Yud Beis, all of it, Yehoshua is commanding the people to take these 12 men. And right now, we have no idea what the purpose of these 12 men are. It doesn't say anything in the Pasuk. It doesn't tell us why we're taking these 12 men. Pasuk Yud Gimel just tells us something else about the Kohanim going in this miracle beginning. So what do we have these 12 men for? So Rashi essentially says, you got to separate these 12 men, take one man per shevet, take these 12 men, and get them ready. I'm going to give them a job. Right? We'll see after they cross the Yarden, at the beginning of Perek Daled, we'll see what exactly the job is. But Rashi essentially says that right now, Yehoshua is just saying, take 12 men. I'm not going to tell you right now what the job is, but I have some sort of job for them down the pike, and get them ready. It's interesting, because some of the Mefarshim say here, the Metzudas David, Malbim, and the Alshich, and others say that no, there actually was a job. What was the job? To witness. The job was to witness the miracle. Okay, we're about to experience a miracle, as we know. The Yarden is going to split. Okay? So, what are these people for? So these Mefarshim understand that these people are there for nothing else than just to see, to witness the miracle. Why? So some of them say, keep in mind, we have thousands and thousands of people here at the Jordan River. Right? We've been to the Jordan River. It's not all that big. We have thousands and thousands of people. And not everyone is going to see the miracle when it first happens. Now, an element of the miracle, everybody will see. Why? Because when the entire Jewish people crosses through the Yarden, they're going to see that the water has stopped, and now we're crossing through on dry land. So that element of the miracle, everyone's going to see. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Hashem wants everyone to, Hashem wants at least a report, an eyewitness account of the miracle, of the beginning of the miracle. What's the beginning of the miracle? That's Pasuk Yud Gimel. What does Pasuk Yud Gimel say? V'haya, let's read it again. V'haya kinoach kapos raglia kohanim nosei aron Hashem adon kol haaretz b'mei hayardein. As soon as the Kohanim, who were carrying the Aron, stepped foot, literally, stepped foot into the waters of the Yarden, Mei HaYarden Yikaresu. The waters of the Yarden are going to split. Okay? That's what Yahushua wanted these 12 men to witness. He wanted them to witness that miracle, the miracle of the splitting. Because it wasn't enough for the Jewish people just to pass through and to see, hey, you know, this is kind of strange. Look, the water's all stopped here and we're passing through on dry land. That's a miracle. And that would have been amazing. But he wanted these 12 men to be eyewitness to the miracle of the Kohanim walking in and right away the water splitting. Because why? Because that's a more amazing miracle. It's one thing to witness something, you know, something kind of strange. It's another thing to see with your own eyes, literally, nature changing. Right? The Kohanim stepping in and all of a sudden the water vanishes. That's an amazing miracle. Not all the Jewish people could see that happening. Because how many people, like realistically, right? How many people can see? This wasn't a stadium, right? How many people can see when the Kohanim walk in, the water splitting? Just the people in the front. So therefore, Yahushua said, I need 12 men. I need one person per Shevet that is going to be an eyewitness to the beginning of this miracle. And that way, these 12 people can go back to their Shevet and report and say, I saw the following happen. Right? And then you have 12 people, everybody, you know, reporting back to their Shevet. So then we understand that the Shvatim will understand that the magnitude of this miracle, that it wasn't just that we passed through on dry land, but we saw this amazing miracle with just as soon as the Kohanim laid their feet into the Yarden, boom, the water split. Yeah.
Did the 12 men need any qualifications to be picked?
Presumably they were good people. we don't find, how'd they choose? I don't know. I'm not sure how they chose. The Mefarshim, to the best of my knowledge, at least here, maybe later on it discusses it, but to the best of my knowledge here, nobody
chose. Exactly.
Okay, good. So that's a good question. It could be, Yom Suf was bigger, and the miracle of Yom Suf was a little different, and then we'll talk about that in a second. It could be that it was more, just practically, it could be that it was more visible. Now, it could be that what happened was more visible for people to see, the magnitude of Yam Suf, for people to see, the miracle of the splitting of the sea. That might have been more visible for people to see, as opposed to this.
But of course, what you're saying now would have been even greater, let's say, allegiance to the miracle if 12 people would have come back and said, wow, as soon as Moshe...
Or Kriyas Yom Suf.
Yeah, he says.
What I'm saying is,
you say the 12 people came back and they reported back. You know what? The Kohanim dipped their foot into the ground and it split.
Right.
So it would have been better just by the first miracle with Kriyas Yom Suf, saying, "Hey, we had 12 people there. Moshe went like this."
I understand, but what I'm saying is, I think that it wasn't. It may not have been necessary there. In other words, by Yom Suf, it could be that naturally more people were able to see what was going on. Here, in order to see it, you have to like be looking at the ground and see the Kohanim's feet walking in and touching. Kriyas Yom Suf, you didn't have to see that. Kriyas Yom Suf, you just have to see the water. If you see the water, the water splits, it's a little easier to see. Here, it's just imagine the Kohanim are carrying the Aron. How many people are you talking about? You're talking about a few people, you have to be able to see their feet. How many people can see that? It's a much narrower scope of the miracle beginning. Right.
So only one. Here you have 12 people simultaneously.
Well, they're not going in. They're watching. Meaning the Kohanim. The Kohanim are going in. The Kohanim stepped in. Yeah.
They did. So it's
I don't know how. No. Because it wasn't 12 Kohanim. The 12 people are the witnesses. The Kohanim, I'm not sure how many. I don't know if the Pasuk ever identifies how many Kohanim. I mean, they were carrying the Aron. So you're talking probably four, I would guess. Right? Because there are two. The Aron has two poles. And I imagine that there was, two in back and two in front. Maybe it was four Kohanim. I don't know that there were any more than that. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know that it identifies a number. Anyway, so they also are, you know, they make a diuk in the pasuk. If you read the wording carefully, so here, how does it refer to the people? It says, Ish echad la shavet, with a lamed. Later, we're going to talk about 12 men. We'll see at the beginning of Perek Dalet, we talk about 12 men. And there it says, mi shevet, that you should take 12 people, mi shevet, from the shevet. So the Mefarshim say, why does it say here, why does it say there, mem mi shevet? And here it says with a lamed, la shavet. So he says, you see that the goal was to report back to the shevet. That was the goal. The idea was, it was 12 people, la shavet. It was 12 people for the shevet. Meaning each person had a job, had a mission to go back to their shevet and communicate the magnitude of the miracle. Later we're going to talk about 12 men who have a different job, and that has nothing to do with reporting back to the shevet, and that's why it says mi shevet. You want to take 12 from the shevet. Here it's 12 people la shevet. Okay, so that's the deal that they make. Now, so what's the miracle? So here at Pasuk Yud-Gimel, we read a couple times already, that the Kohanim go in, and you have this instantaneous miracle. As soon as the Kohanim's feet enters the water, all of a sudden the water splits. But listen, it's very interesting. The miracle here is totally different than the miracle of Yam Suf. Why? Because what does the end of the pasuk say? Hamayim hayordi milamala, right? Yikaresun hamayim hayordi milamala, that the water that's coming downstream will stop. The Yamdu Neid Echad, and will form one wall. So think about what's happening here. Yam Suf is an ocean, is a sea, right? So what happened at Yam Suf? Then Yisrael came to Yam Suf, right? Nachshon Min Aminadav goes in, up to his neck, boom, the water splits, okay? It splits like this. So now all the Jewish people walk through. Okay, so I know, you know, 12 paths, one path, however you understand how many paths, you know, there were. But, you know, at the end of the day, the water splits on either side, right? And what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says there was a wall on either side, right? Then miyaminu right, miyaminu mismol, there's a wall, the wall to the left, the wall to the right. When they're going through, there's two walls of water, you know, like this. Here, it's a river, right? It's not an ocean, it's a river. So how does a river travel? How does a river move? The water goes downstream, right? The water goes, it's from going up, it's coming from up north, right? From the Galil up north, and it's coming downstream, right? The Kinneret down, the Yam HaMelech. Okay, we're somewhere in between the Kinneret and the Yam HaMelech, I believe here, right near Yericho. Okay, a little bit north of the Yam HaMelech, and here the water is moving downstream. So what happens? What's the miracle here? The miracle is not a splitting of the river water and two walls. The miracle is essentially like a dam. Right, the water coming downstream just stops, miraculously stops. Okay, the water that was, you know, at this point going downstream, what happens to it? It continues going downstream. It doesn't stay there. It just keeps going downstream. So that water empties out, going downstream. This water here stops like a wall. And essentially, you have a very large expanse now of dry land. Okay, but they're not walking through with two walls of water. They're walking through with one wall of water, right? Essentially to their right, because they're walking from east to west, right? They're coming into Eretz Yisrael from Jordan, right? So they're coming from east to west, and so the water is coming down north, right? So it's stopping right here. It's made creating a wall, and then this water is going downstream is just emptying out into the Yam HaMelech and beyond. So that's the idea of the miracle here. Yeah, it's interesting. The Malbim also points out that we mention again here. We mention the Aron, right? The pasuk again mentions, right? As soon as the feet of the Kohanim knows a Aron Hashem, right? The ones who are carrying the Aron Hashem. Why do we keep mentioning the Aron Hashem? So he says because it was in the merit of the Aron. Right? This miracle didn't just happen by itself. This miracle happened in the merit of the Aron. Now keep in mind, it's not like the Aron is not some sort of magical device that, you know, wherever you move it, it's not like, this is not Indiana Jones here, right? Where wherever you move the Aron, you know, some, you know, things are happening, right? But at the same time, there is a certain zchus, there's a certain merit that the kedusha of the Aron will enable the Jewish people who are carrying this Aron to experience miracles. So there is a certain element of but it's more of like a merit. It's more of a schus. that in the merit of this Aron, we're going to experience a miracle. Not so much that the Aron is serving as like some sort of magical device that's creating miracles. Okay. Let's see Pasuk Yudalad. Vayihi min soa ha'am me'ohalehen. So the people see what's going on, and they come out of their tents. Right? They come out of their tents. La'avoras ha'yarden. Come out of their tents, and they're packing their bags. They're getting ready. We're going to cross the yarden. Ve'akohanim nosei ha'aron habris lifnei ha'am. The kohanim that are carrying the aron habris, again, we mentioned again, right? The kohanim that are carrying the aron habris are lifnei ha'am, are in front of the people, are before the people. The Ralbag mentions here, it's interesting, he says that that it seems clear from the psukim that as long as the kohanim stayed there, no, they stayed put, they walked into the yarden, the water stops, creates a wall on the north side, and now all the other water goes downstream, and the kohanim stay put, they don't move. And as long as the kohanim are standing there with the aron, the water's not moving. The water's staying, you know, like a wall, and dry land now. People can just walk through. So the Rabbah points out that it's, you know, to the open-ended nature of this miracle also just increased the magnitude of the miracle. You know, that it's not like Yahushua came to them and said, okay, guys, you know, you have 30 minutes. The clock is ticking. You know, 30 minutes. In 30 minutes, the water's going to come crashing down. That would almost seem, you know, again, almost more natural. Okay, something happened, some sort of weird phenomena happened, and we'll talk a little bit about this in a couple minutes, but some sort of weird phenomena happened, and we have a short span of time, we have a little window of time where we're going to be able to sneak across the Yarden without the river, without the water coming crashing down upon us. But it seems very clear, says the Ralbag, that if you read the Psukim, this was open-ended. This wasn't like some clock ticking and they had to get through. It was like open-ended. Whenever, you know, as long as the Kohanim are standing there, as long as the Aron is there, the water's staying put. The water's not going anywhere, just to increase. You know, it's obvious to everyone that this is a miracle. It's fascinating here also. The Al-Sheikh points out that how does the Pasuk begin here? Vayihi bin soa ha'ame ohalehem. When the people are coming out of their tents. So says the Al-Sheikh that people were coming out of their tents to go and cross the Yarden. He says, this is not like what happened at Yamsuf, right? Or maybe this is my little addition. I don't remember what, you know, if he said this little point, or I'm mentioning the point myself. But what happened to Kriyas Yamsuf? Everybody was kind of nervous, right? Nachshon ben Aminadav. It took him to go into, nobody wanted to go into the river. The river wasn't splitting so fast. Here, the Kohanim went in, the river splits. That's it, they're done. The miracles, everybody looks and they see, wow, look at that, right? So everybody runs out. They're all excited. Everybody's running out to go cross the Yarden. And in fact, he says that the people were going out so quickly. They were going out so quickly. That's why it says that the Aron was Lifnei Ha'am. What do you mean Lifnei Ha'am? So if you remember from a little bit earlier in Sefer Yehoshua, in this parak, in the beginning of this parak, we learned that the Aron was supposed to be a certain distance from them, like 2,000 amos in front of the people, right? Nobody waited for the Aron. Everybody was running. You know, people were just running. They weren't waiting for the Aron to get really ahead of them. And the Aron was like mamish. He says lifnei ha'am. It was like right in front of them. You know, they didn't even give the Aron a chance to get ahead of them. They were literally like on the heels, so to speak, of the Aron, just like running to experience this miracle and, you know, and see what's going on and cross into the Yarden.
Rabbi, it says,
yeah,
the water went straight up into the air.
Yes, yes, yes. We're gonna, yeah. We're gonna come to that. Yeah. We're gonna come to that. So the Malbim also just points out a very interesting language here at the end of Pasuk Yudalid. So what is the Navi uses a strange term? It says Nosei Ha'aron Habris Lifnei Ha'am. So there's two hays here. This is a little bit of a grammatical point, but normally when we say, you know, when you want to talk about the Aron Habris is not a strange term. That's a term that's often used. But usually you only have one hey ha'idia. You would say Aron Habris, right? So the way that you would write that is Va'akohanim no say Aron Habris lifnei Hashem. Why is there an extra hey ha'aron habris? It seems unnecessary. It seems like there's an extra, grammatically it doesn't make sense. Why is there an extra hey? So he points at this. So the Malbim just points out that the Aron is normally called Aron Habris. Why? Because it houses the luchos. The luchos are called the Luchos Habris, right? They're the Luchos that represent our covenant with God. So then the Luchos Habris. So he says the Aron Habris really had two functions as a covenant. Number one, it housed the Luchos. That's number one. It was the Aron Habris. But number two, it itself, the Aron itself, as a kli, as a vessel itself, had a certain kedusha to it, had a certain, was representative of a certain covenant between us and God. So that's why he says the extra hey ha'aron habris, that the aron itself had an element of representing a covenant of God, not just because it housed the luchos, that too, but also because of the aron itself, there was also an element of a bris here as well. Okay, let's see pasuk tes vav. Ukivo no se ha'aron ad hayardin. So now the people, the Kohanim that are carrying this aron, again and again we mentioned this, right? It's like the last three psukim, we said this again and again. Those who are carrying the aron, they come ad hayardein. V'ragli ha-kohanim nosei ha-aron nitbilu b'ktzei hamayim. So it's fascinating. Where do they stand? They touched, right? Literally, nitbilu is like they dipped in. They dipped into the edge of the water. V'hayardein mole al kol gidosav kol yimei katsir. And the Yardein is overflowing, right? Mole al kol gidosav means it's overflowing its banks. The river was very full. The river was overflowing its banks. Kol yamei katsir, all days of the harvest. Keep in mind, when are they crossing through? What month are we in? Nisan, right? To be precise, it's Yud Nisan, right? So we're in the 10th of Nisan. We're in the springtime. It's the yamei katsir. It's the time of the harvest, okay? And then the pasuk says that it was full this entire time. It's very interesting here. The mefarshim debate back and forth here. Some of the mefarshim say that this was a usual occurrence. This was a normal occurrence. That this was normal. That during this time of the katzir, the yardin was very full and was overflowing its banks. And some say that this was an unusual occurrence. So it seems to be almost like, you know, like the mefarshim themselves are debating this point, was this usual or was this unusual? Okay, if you say that it was unusual, so here it just adds to the miracle, then here we have this very full river. It's not usually this full, right? But right now, Hashem made it, you know, to add to the miracle. Again, we keep finding these additional points, you know, to add to the magnitude of the miracle, you have this river is extremely, extremely full, and the Kohanim, as the Pasuk says, are just, you know, their feet are just touching the edge. The water's overflowing the banks. The Kohanim aren't even in the river. They're literally just like on the banks of the river, their feet touch the water that's overflowing the banks, and boom, right? Just the water stops. The water miraculously stops. Some understand that this was a usual occurrence. The Malbim and others understand that this was a usual occurrence. The Radak says maybe it's because during the springtime, you know, the weather's starting to warm up a little bit. So what happens when the weather starts to warm up? The snow from the mountains begins to melt. So the snow from the mountains begins to melt. So the Radak says maybe that's why the river was so full at this time, because because it was starting to get warmer. So the snow was beginning to melt, and then the river became fuller. So it's, you know, they're not sure exactly what it was, but either way, it's a, you know, it adds to the magnitude of the nes. Let's see pasuk tes zayin. Vayamdu hamayim hayordim milamala kamu neid echad. Right, so look what's happening here. So the water is coming down again. Keep in mind, the water keeps coming downstream. Right, the water doesn't stop, meaning that there's a wall here now of water, but the water keeps coming downstream. So what happens? Vayamdu hamayim hayordim milamala. The water keeps rising. The wall gets bigger. Right? What'd you read from there?
That the water went straight up 12 miles high.
12 miles high. Right, there you have it. 12 miles high. Vayamdu hamayim hayordim milamala. Kamu neid echad. The water just becomes a wall, and the wall gets higher and higher. Okay, 12 miles high even. Harchek me'od, me'odam. So it's interesting. I'm not sure where this is coming from, this understanding. So I thought the understanding was that the wall, right, that there was a certain wall. I don't know, it went 12 miles high. But I thought the pshat was that the wall, you know, kept getting bigger, meaning the wall was going upstream. The wall was getting bigger upstream. Okay, so imagine, let's say the river's normally, I don't know, 10 feet high. You know, at that spot. So all of a sudden now it forms a wall, let's say 20 feet high. But now that wall 20 feet, the water keeps coming. Now it's 20 feet, 20 feet, 20 feet. That wall of 20 feet just keeps moving upstream because the water keeps coming down and just stops. But I'm not sure, you know, either way. I'm sorry?
According to you, how'd they cross?
No, they're crossing south of the wall. Right, the water's coming down north to south and it stops. So they're crossing on the southern side of that wall. But the wall's, you know, growing, so to speak, northward. You know, just the water's piling up, so to speak. But I, you know, I guess either way, or maybe it's just getting higher and higher. The wall's getting higher and higher. That would make it even more intimidating. And it says, So it says there was a city called Tsarson, and there was another. There's a machlokis in the Mefarshim. If when it says Adam Ha'ir here, does it mean that there was a city named Adam? There was actually some of the Mefarshim say that the name of the place. Rashi says the name of the place was Adam. That was the name of the city. Some say that Adam here means the people of the city, right? The people of the city. But either way, however you understand it, Asher Mitzad Sarson veHayordim al Yam Ha'arava Yam Hamelach Tamu Nichrasu veHa'am Avru Neged Yericho. So what happened? All the water clears out. Right, the wall just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Right, we understand the wall's getting higher, the wall's getting wider. Either way, the wall's just growing and growing and growing. Okay, that's on the northern side. On the southern side, the water just flows downstream, and that's it. Empties out, and now it's the water's gone. Right, the water's completely gone, and it goes right into Yam HaMelech, as the pasuk says. Ha'yordim al Yam HaArava Yam HaMelech. Right, it goes down straight into Yam HaMelech, straight into the Dead Sea. Tamu Nichrasu. So what's Tamu Nichrasu? So the Alshik points out that the reason why it says two words here, Tamu Nichrasu, is because number one, the water clears out, okay? The water that was flowing clears out. But keep in mind, he says, there was also water that was collected, you know, different pockets of water. You have a little ditch here, and there's water collected there. He said all the water cleared out, right? All the water cleared out. It was Tamu Nichrasu, everything. The water that was flowing went down, and then the water that was collected in the little crevices and the little cracks and the little ditches, all of that water cleared out miraculously. Okay, and we'll see in a minute that it actually became completely dry land. The Mefarshim say also that that this pasuk is essentially saying that this water, the wall, was so intimidating that if not for the miracle, the water would, I mean, think about this. Right? Imagine if someone, if you have such a robust river, such a large river, overflowing river, and someone dams it up, right? They put a dam right there. So what's going to happen to the river? It's going to flood, right? It's going to flood all of the, I'm pretty sure in the news I just heard that some river down south was flooding, right? It happens sometimes. You have these rivers, Mississippi, whatever, different rivers, right? They flood, right? The banks overflow, and what happens? All the cities along the river, they get flooded, right? So what would have happened? Imagine this, right? You have this water coming down, okay? And all of a sudden it gets dammed up, boom. There's a neid echa, there's a wall, right? The water's not going anywhere. Where's the water? The water has to go somewhere. So what happens? So it says it would have totally destroyed the area, right? All the cities nearby on the sides on the riverbanks would have been totally wiped out. Some say that's what the other means. The other means it would have killed everyone, right? This would have been floodwaters. It would have just killed, wiped out all the people there. But what happened? The Kodesh Baruch Hu made a neis. The water kept coming, but just the wall got bigger, right? It wasn't the wall. The water didn't go anywhere. The water didn't overflow and kill and flood anyone. It's just the water kept getting bigger and bigger and more imposing. Let's see pasuk Yedzayin, the last pasuk in the perek. Vayamdu akohanim nosei ha'aron bris Hashem becharava besoch hayarden. So the kohanim were carrying the aron, and again another pasuk, right? We have how many pasukim in a row? Yedzayin mentioned the kohanim nosei aron bris Hashem. I'm looking at the wrong pasuk here. Yedzayin mentioned it. Teszayin. Right? Do we have Tessayin? Tessayin didn't mention it, actually. Tesvav did. Ukevod no se ha'aron ad yardein. Yodalid. Kvakohanim no se ha'aron abris. Right? I mean, the psukim keep mentioning the Kohanim who were carrying the Aron, because that's the main thing here. So what happened? The Kohanim who were carrying the Aron bris Hashem, they stood becharava besoch ha'yardein. They stood in the dry land. Then before she pointed out here, it's amazing. The land dried up. Right? You could also, you imagine. So the water clears out. Now you have mud. Right? It wasn't mud. It wasn't mud. Right? Miraculously, it became totally dry so that people could walk through, you know, and not get all muddy, not get stuck in the mud. Right? So it wasn't muddy. Becharava, it became completely dry. Besochayadin hachein, v'chol Yisrael overim becharava, and the entire Jewish nation passed through and went through the dry land. Anasher tamu kol hagoy la'avoras hayadin. Until the entire nation went through. Again, keep in mind, you're talking thousands and thousands of people crossing through the Yarden here. This is a big event here. It's interesting. If you look at the beginning of the pasuk, what does it say? It says v'chol Yisrael overin becharava, that all of the Jews, Right, are passing through this dry land. How does the pasuk end? Ad asher tamu kol hagoy, the entire nation. So the Mefarshim ask, why does it switch from Yisrael to Goy? Right, first it calls Yisrael. Now we switch to Goy. So some of the Mefarshim say the Alshech points out that that there were some other people traveling with the Jews. They weren't all Jews. Erev Rav, right? He says maybe you had some of the workers. You had people working, right? You know, you had the Shoai Mayim, the Kotzei Eitzim, right? You had the people who were the water carriers and the lumberjacks. You know, you had people who were traveling with the Jewish nation that were not Jews, that had just kind of tagged along, you know, with the Jews. And he says that those people, the Nais wasn't only for the Jews. The Nais was for everybody, the whole camp, right? Everybody who was traveling with them, everybody experienced this Nais, and they went through. He also points out, the Alshech also points out here, that imagine the fear that people experienced here, right? Think about this. You know, and this also, it's a little different than Yam Suf. Yam Suf also, I never really thought about it like this, but Yam Suf also, you know, probably the people were a little nervous. Even once it split, because what happens? Yam Suf splits into two, and you're going to walk through, right? Imagine, right? Yam Suf splits into two, and now they say, okay, go ahead, right? Go ahead. Well, what's going to happen if the water comes crashing down on me, right? I have two walls of water here on either side of me. So they had to have, the Jewish people had to have a certain amount of bitachon here, right? Certainly by Kriyas Yamsuf, they had to have it. But here the bitachon would have, you know, to a certain extent, had to be almost even greater. Why? Because here, what happened? The water is just, it keeps coming and coming and coming, and this wall is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And again, whether you understand that it's getting higher, or you understand that the wall is getting longer, however you understand the wall growing, it's very clear from the Psukim that the water is still coming. This is a river, right? The water is coming downstream, and it's just like pounding up against this and creating this massive wall of water, right? And now, you know, Yehoshua says, okay, Chevra, let's go, right? Cross. So what happens? You know, we're going across, and everybody's like kind of looking over their shoulder. Well, what's going to happen here? Right? I don't want to be on the receiving end of this crashing wall, right? So but that's what the Pasuk points out, that as long as, that's why the Kohanim stayed there. The Kohanim stayed put. Why? Because the people had bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when they saw the Kohanim and the Aron there, they said, okay, if the Kohanim and the Aron are here, nothing's going to happen to us. And they had the bitachon to go through and recognize that, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us, b'schus the Aron, b'schus the Kohanim. We see the Kohanim are holding this Aron, they're standing there, right, the Avlum B'ris Hashem, nothing's going to happen to us like this. And everybody went through, you know, again, maybe they were a little nervous inside, but they had the bitachon to go through. There's a fascinating discussion here in the Malbim at the very end of this perek in this pasuk. So the Malbim quotes the Ralbag. I didn't see the Ralbag say this inside, but he quotes the Ralbag. And the Ralbag apparently in this when it comes to this nace, so the Ralbag says that he kind of attributes it almost to a natural occurrence. I didn't understand how he was describing the natural science of the split. But the Ralbag seems to attribute some sort of natural, this split to some sort of natural phenomenon. Why? So the Ralbag says, because the Pasuk in Koheles tells us, Ein kol chadash tachas ha-shemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. He quotes a Gemara that says, the quotes a Pasuk of Vayivra, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create new creations. He doesn't create new things. So therefore, it must be that there was some sort of natural phenomena that were taking place here to create this miracle. Now the Rabbag says it was still an ace, but it's clear that it was still an ace. So what was the nace? So listen to how the Rabbag explains it. Very interesting. The Rabbag says the nace was that normally these things happen over an extended period of time. So what happened here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu condensed it. He took the natural phenomena and he condensed it so that it happened all very quickly, and that created this nace. That created this nace. But it's not what he says, it's all existing phenomena. It's just a matter of a Kodesh Baruch Hu playing with the timing. That's what a miracle is. That's how the Ralbag explains the miracle. The Malbim doesn't like that. And the Malbim says, no, that's not what happened. It's not just a Kodesh Baruch Hu playing with the timing. There was definitely a supernatural event here that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created this miracle. So he says, so how do you explain the Pasuk in Koheles, Ein kol chadash tachas ha-shemesh? So very interesting. So he says that what that means is that there's no more yesh me'ayin. We know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, right, as they say in the Latin, ex nihilo, God created the world, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. There was nothing here. There was Ephes. It was nothing. Tohu vavohu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Yesh me'ayin. He took nothing and he created the world. So says the Malbim, Ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh means that only happened during Sheshes Me'breishes. Creation Yesh me'ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming and creating Yesh me'ayin, that was during Sheshes Me'breishes. Anything that happens after that is Yesh me'yesh. Anything that happens after that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking, you know, things that exist and changing them, manipulating them. They still might be lamala minateva, they still might be supernatural, right? In other words, the way that the things happen might be supernatural, but there's no more yesh me'ayin. That's what it means. So it's an interesting machlokas between the Malbim and the Ralbag, you know, how to explain exactly the nes. The Ralbag is tending towards a more natural explanation of the nes, and just attributing the miraculous nature of it to the timing. Right, that the miracle here was the timing, that it happened just at the right time, so in such a condensed time, where normally the natural process would take much longer. And the Malbim says, no, it was a much more supernatural thing. It wasn't, it wasn't just the timing issue, it was much more supernatural. So it's an interesting phenomenon here. But either way, we see the importance of this, of the miracle, you know, on top of another miracle, Yeah.
The Kohen stayed put.
Yeah.
Okay,
good question. You know, it's good. Actually, we're going to see next week when we start Parag Dalet, so we'll see that Yehoshua actually went last. Some of the Mefarshim say Yehoshua went last. Why? Because he wanted to reassure everyone. You know, because if Yehoshua went first, everybody's going to be like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe it's split for him. Right? I'm not going through. So Yehoshua says, no, don't worry, everybody. Right? You go through. I'll bring up the rear. So that way people had, you know, they were confident that, okay, you know, Yehoshua's behind us. This is the water's not going to budge. You know, the water's not going to... So who went first? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know who went first. But it's, you know, somebody had to go. Again, keep in mind, it's a little different than Kriyas Yamsuf, because Kriyas Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't split it until Nachshon Ben Aminadab went in, right? So the water was still there. Everybody's just looking at the water, and then, you know, they're seeing that, you know, the pasuk says, they have the mitzvah behind them, the water's in front of them, they don't know what to do. Here, it was already split. As soon as the Kohanim stepped in, it was done, right? It was dry land. So it was a whole different type of miracle. It's very interesting, because here we have, these are really like the two miracles of water splitting, but we see so many differences between them. It's a very, you know, some parallel, but some very different things. I don't know. I mean, the psukim don't mention anything. You know, they maybe they had to have been watching it, I guess, to see it. I mean, presumably it took some time for the whole nation to get across. You know, even if it's dry land, right? I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. It takes time for people to move, you know. So presumably, this was over an extended period of time that the people went through. But okay. So I don't want to start that Parag Dalet. It's a little late to start Parag Dalet, so we'll stop here for tonight. Because Hashem, next week we'll start Parag Dalet.